Zan Rowe on Double J.
You said back in March when you were sort of hoping to use the time to create and to ready yourself and ourselves more broadly for what lies on the other side. And I for one, really appreciated your candidness about that.
Yeah.
You know, you just talking about what the reality is of what's going to happen at the end of all this when it finally does finish or whatever it looks like in a few months. Do you feel as though you've been able to do that, to really think about both mentally and physically and emotionally, you know, how to ready yourself for the other side?
Yeah, it is interesting though, isn't it? Because time has just become so strange, you know, like these, for me, days just fly by, just amazing how quick it all goes. And I would like to be further ahead on my writing, but I am writing, which is good. And I don't believe I would have been if I wasn't, you know, forced to stay in one place. So there's that. And when it comes out the other end, I will have an album. And it's just, you know, it's always frustrating and slow writing for me.
I don't think you're alone, though, in those kind of grand ideas to write the screenplay, make the sourdough, get ripped. All of that stuff has kind of fallen by the wayside for many of us, I think.
Yeah, but we just got to keep going because it's going to be, I mean, you know, who knows, we may all be locked down again here in Australia pretty soon, and it's and each time this happens, I mean, there's no more novelty to this. Like, we're not going to be posting pictures of how to use our AeroPress and stuff next time. It's serious business, you know. And but so I do still think that it's important to have something that you've made on the other side of it, and so I keep working.
Yeah, certainly for those in Melbourne and Greater Melbourne, it's a reality. Having the lockdown happen from midnight to night, going back into that 6-week period where we have to stay at home, it's pretty tough for many people second time around.
Yeah.
You've been really busy on social media as well, Ben, away from writing. I know that you've been posting a lot, particularly about the Black Lives Matter movement. You know, this is something that's happened again since we last spoke. The pandemic has gotten worse. There's been an uprising following the death of George Floyd. And, of course, reactions here in Australia, which I'm sure you've seen too, on our own history of racial injustice. What's your sort of perspective? Because you're in a unique place. You know, usually you're at home in Nashville and you're here far away from home, but then it's kind of all around us. How's your sort of viewpoint in that regard with what's going on?
Well, I think people, I mean, I guess we jump in, you know, it's like having any kind of conversation. You jump into an uncomfortable conversation with a friend, say, and then all this other stuff starts coming out. And, I mean, God knows that there's so much left on the race part of the conversation. And I guess when we think about it, it's natural that would have happened. I mean, it took something, you know, it took a terrible turn of events to bring it out. But I am kind of an optimist about these things. I'm sort of with Mr. Rogers. If it's mentionable, it's manageable.
Mm-hmm.
And that race is more mentionable now, I think is a good thing. It's caused a lot of conversations. And so I've been able to, you know, post out and reach out to friends and do things, you know, that I never had done before. I grew up in I went to a primary school up through sixth grade that was 50% black. Most of my teachers were black. And it's been something I've never, you know, thought to address. And, you know, that's a problem. So anyway, I've tried to take time to, you know, and a lot of that has to be personal too, because as a performer, you have to watch about being performative in everything you do. So most of the time that I spend on that has been quiet.
It's certainly been a time for a lot of people to reflect. It sounds as though you're looking inward in terms of not just to the last year, but also, you know, like you say, looking back at your whole life and thinking about your perspective and how it's shifted and how you speak as a person and as an artist.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we all are doing. We all have to do. Part of this tune that I wrote, a little waltz called 2020, is just, you know, inherently in a waltz and in a major key, I've always felt there's already hope built into that. Like, that's just, if you just think about hearing a boom, bung, dung, gung, dung, it's like that's not a dire sound, you know, so you can put other words to it. And I do think that, like, all the stuff we're going through has to have, just in my belief system, it means that we're heading to a better place. And it's just, sometimes it's really uncomfortable to get to the other side of it. But I like to keep the optimism in there in the background, at least in the waltz and the major keys of the things I talk about.
And once again, you've just captured so perfectly this moment in time. That is one of the reasons why we wanted to check in with you, because you did in the last week release a brand new single. It's called 2020. It is a pretty scathing summary of the year so far. It really captures that stretching of time that we're all feeling.
New Year's Eve, don't it seem like decades ago? Back in 2019. Back when life was slow. Now it's June, we're just halfway done. 2020, hey, are we having fun? How many years will we try to cram into one?
Ben, it's such a beautiful song that packs a lot into 2 minutes 20. I do like the kind of fake applause that rolls in there as well, and the canned laughter, which we're seeing in a lot of sort of shows at the moment too, which is quite triggering for me. But you mentioned three particular years, 1918, 1930 and 1968 in this song. Tell us about those moments in time and why you've wrapped them in this song, 2020.
Well, it seemed like, I mean, it really felt like, oh, I see what this year is. It's 1918, and we all got on board with that. I mean, half of us, most of us, didn't even know much about the pandemic of 1918, and then we're all Googling 1918. And then suddenly events just accelerated. And as they accelerated, it wasn't all that good. You know, like 1930, that's the Great Depression. Well, it's actually 1929 is when the stock market fell, but 1930, we knew that we were in a Great Depression worldwide. And we began to think about that as the economy closed down. Then, boom, it's 1968. What? We woke up one morning and like the protests of 1968 and all the things that we thought we had addressed in that year were suddenly like, no, you people didn't learn anything, did you? So we have to learn again. And in the middle of that, now we got a president and instead of like trying to kind of, you know, lend a hand, decides to throw fuel on the fire and try to you know, summon the Civil War, which is, you know, that's another 100 years back. And these things happen at such a breakneck speed in the news cycle that as an artist, you can't even express it. I mean, if I tried to write a song about the way it feels today, And I release that next week, it's going to be like, wow, that's from another era. Mm. That's old news. You know, it used to be like, well, that song is so 2008. Now it's, oh, that song's so 10 a.m. What are you thinking with that old song, you old man?
You almost kind of signal that, though. There's a sense of foreboding about what the next 6 months holds.
Yeah. Because I think we've all got that. We're all a little scared about that, I think, yeah.
But, I mean, despite all of this, and it's very easy to get bogged down in a lot of the darkness. It feels overwhelming for many of us. But do you have hope? Is there hope among this darkness?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's what music does that straight words poetry don't do. I mean, the song is in a pretty key and everything. It's not a minor key, and it's not like if you said those same words to some really foreboding music, it would sound like the end of the world. But the idea is, you know, we're all in it together. It's just a little bit of a laugh at it. We're going to get through it. I hope that is part of the song. But the art of writing a song is not to explain that in the lyrics. It's to let the lyrics and the music come to that bittersweet collaboration and kind of plant it in your soul is the art. But yeah, I do think that it's, you know, I think most of us think that we're eventually headed somewhere better. But like anything, it just means that we have to be uncomfortable a lot. It's like the lockdown stuff. It's like, wow, we've really got to summon some willpower, and we can do it.
There's a lot of reckoning going on across many different fields and for many different people right now. Ben Folds is writing about it in his music, and you're damn good at it. In fact, on the text line, here at Double J. He's a very good storyteller, says someone on the text line. Another person, Ange, saying the man is a genius. Aww. Ben Folds is with us here on Double J, playing us that brand new song, 2020, which just came out in the last week, and working on a whole album here in Australia. We've been talking a lot about kind of mental health across the ABC this week, and here on Double J we've been reminded that music is such an amazing way for us to find comfort. As a listener, beyond your own music, have you been listening to certain things to really, you know, have some respite and just take a bit of a brain breather during this time?
You know, mine has been classical music. Mm. You know, there's so many. You can pull classical music from any era and get the feeling that you know, they got through. There's some wisdom in that, reaching out over the ages. You know, I mean, Ravel, was listening to Ravel this morning. Ravel drove drove a some kind of military supply truck in I guess World War I. You know, if you listen to Stravinsky or any of the Russian composers there, they were dealing with an autocrat who would kill them or their family if they wrote the wrong thing. And there's something about the power of that reaching out over the centuries is more interesting to me at the very moment. You know, obviously I'm putting music into the conversation myself, but I tend to listen to the old folks.
It's a great perspective as well, isn't it? Just thinking about that, the things that have passed and the way that we've made our way through, that's a really, it's a powerful reminder. And classical music is a huge part of what I listen to as well, to find some respite for so many other reasons. One of the other things that you've been doing online, which I've been loving, is that you've been putting music to Sarah Silverman's self-confessed jackassery. She's been doing this kind of video game improv where she plays video games with her mate and then kind of makes this sort of horrible music, not horrible, but quite mean musical theater about it. And you've been creating the music for it. What is going on here? Did I describe that the way it is?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Sarah's absurd. I mean, she's sitting there like, you know, killing people on a video screen, you know, playing those terrible games. And you don't know, you know, that there, you feel all kinds of irony in it, in what it says about how just normal it is to sit there on the screen and kill your friend over and over again. So that's just absurd and funny. And then she launches into these improvs that are like musical theater improvs, and they're terrible, amazing. So I just showed her what could be done with one, and just started posting those. I mean, what's crazy is her little improvs are in a very specific key, and they're in time. So for me, it's real easy just to take you know, what she did, and I think it took about 20 minutes. To do that. So.
She's queer. She's quite tuneful. It's definitely worth checking out on her Twitter. It's very, very funny. And just another one of the things that has come out of this very strange time we're in. I love it. Ben Folds is with us. He is hanging out here on Double J to walk you through what he's been up to over the last few months here in Australia. Penning new music, of course. We just heard 2020. One of the other things that you told me when we first caught up back in late March, Ben, was that you were going to be doing Pilates every day. How's your core?
Oh, the Pilates! Yes, we did. We did talk about that. Well, you know, I looked in the mirror, and like we do, and sometimes you have to do that. And I told myself, "There's nothing to improve on here." So,
God gave you this gift. You should just run with it. You're beautiful inside and out. Look, I think that we've all put aside the shredding hopes that we had at the very start of this lockdown. I know I, for one, ate a bucket load of chocolate when it was announced that Melbourne was going into lockdown again at midnight tonight.
I had to lay off the chocolate just 2 days ago. I was like, okay, this is it. I've now rationed myself to three pieces a day. It's awful. I've done some of my Pilates. I've known it. You know, but it hasn't been, my hopes and dreams haven't quite been realized, but I've stuck with it, you know. And well, people in Australia are so physically, like, aware and fit for the most part. Like just to look out the window at people, like, running like they're training for the Olympics, you know.
You're feeling shamed, aren't you, Ben? I can tell it. I'm reading between the lines here.
It's pretty bad. Yeah, if I were at home, that's not what I would see looking out the window. But here it's like, y'all got this, mate. And they're just like training for the Olympics. It's good. I think that's a good attitude. I it's rubbing off on me, but you know, I by comparison, I think is I'm not up to that.
Zan Rowe on Double J.